Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross, back from a short hiatus brought about by the NCAA basketball tournament. And what a tennis tournament we have to go over on this beautiful Monday. The Miami Open champion is Hubie Hurkacz, his maiden Masters 1000 title. He met Jannik Sinner, 19 years old, the Italian phenom, in the final, and came through it 7-6, 6-4. Later on in the show, we will also welcome in a very good friend of the program. You must know him well by now. Alex Gruskin of Cracked Rackets, host of The Great Shot Podcast, The Cracked Interviews Podcast, and The Mini Break Podcast. We'll talk to Gruskin about Sinner and Hurkacz and a lot of other fun stuff as well. Really fun tournament. It was very clear early on that there was going to be some fresh faces. An opportunity presented itself for RBA, for Andrei Rublev, who both found themselves in the semifinals. Disappointing defeats for Daniil Medvedev, for Stefanos Tsitsipas. It was Sinner and Hurkacz, the final two at the end. And what an accomplishment for Hurkacz. And what a week, what a run for Jannik Sinner, who became the fourth teenager to make the final in Miami. He joins a list that really speaks for itself. Andre Agassi, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and now Jannik Sinner has reached the Miami Open final. But Hurkacz is ultimately the one who lifts the trophy at the end. And if you look at the gauntlet that he had to go through, Denis Shapovalov, Milos Raonic, Stefanos Tsitsipas, Andre Rublev, this was no cakewalk. I mean, what an unbelievable run of wins that is for Hurkacz, who is 24 years old, whose development has been a little bit slower, but also steady. And as a result, he's flown a little bit under the radar. And now he will jump to a career high 16 in the rankings. Well deserved. I expect him to be in the top 10 at some point in his career. And this was a really, really good accomplishment, well-deserved accomplishment, good to see. Let's talk a little bit about where this came from. It does seem a little bit out of nowhere. It's his second title of the year. The first one was in Delray. And one thing that, you know, is kind of a redemption is sweet for Hurkacz is that he did not beat a top 100 player en route to that Delray title. So a lot of people are saying, well, that was, you know, that doesn't mean much, right? But now he goes through that gauntlet, as I said, and it was a bit of a revenge tour, I'd say. But he was 4-5 in matches since Delray. That includes a first round loss to Emer in the Australian Open. But 4-5, 4 wins, 5 losses since that title in Delray. Did not come into this tournament in much form, and pulls off this improbable, unexpected title run. Man, I want to point something out here about the Miami Open, and I will, of course, get into this final against Sinner and some of the keys to the match and what Hurkacz did so well, and ultimately I can tell you right now, I thought that his mentality was really smart. His match feel was on full display. And there were some tactical keys. Believe me, I will get into those. But first of all, I just want to point out that the one common denominator is Florida. The two tournaments in Florida are the ones that Hubie Hurkacz has won. And I've always noticed that the Miami Open, it always feels like a home match for these Florida guys. And that doesn't mean they're from Florida. Hurkacz is Polish. Congratulations to all his fans and all my viewers from Poland, if I didn't say that. But so are guys like Denis Shapovalov, Canadian, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Canadian, Andy Murray, British. And then there's some Americans. Andre Agassi is someone who trained in Florida. These Florida guys, they love Florida. They love playing in Florida. Who was the other surprise this week? Sebastian Korda. Sebastian Korda, big run to the quarterfinals, really was impressive last week. Trains in Florida. Shapovalov, FAA, Miami has been home to their best Masters results. They are both semi-finalists at this event. They train in Miami. Andy Murray, great success here. A couple of titles. Andre Agassi, one of his best Masters events. These players are really good in Florida. A couple things that are unusual. Couple explanations for this is one, the wind, which played a big factor all week. How good are you in wind? How used to you how much are you used to wind? If you train in Florida, you know how to play in wind. And then the second thing is humidity. And that's what really bothered me. I am from New York, and I went and I played a tournament in Florida once, and I just struggled with my breathing. I felt like my cardio was 25-30% worse because of the humidity. So you're used to the humidity, you're used to the wind. Those are bothersome things when you're playing tennis. Those are things that get in your head. And that's why I think Florida is a great place to train. Congratulations to Craig Boynton and his team in Tampa Bay, Florida. That is where Hurkacz trains. And they've been together for a little while now. So Hurkacz, undefeated in Florida. I just want to point out it's a home match for him. And boy, has he been incredible at home, undefeated with titles in Delray and Miami. So I think that the fact that the wind was gusting on this Sunday afternoon was good for Hurkacz and played into his game plan. Here's a match where neither player they're not used to this stage. This is a Masters 1000 final, both of their first times in that position. So you're going to have a lot of nerves, and on top of that, you're going to have a lot of wind. So it wouldn't be a surprise if the tennis wasn't pretty early on. And Hurkacz in this first set, the best thing he did was keep the ball in the court. Nerves, wind. What was Hurkacz? Little passive. He hit 5 winners in the entire set to 13 unforced errors. It was a little scratchy, but nothing compared to how scratchy Jannik Sinner was, who came out with much more aggression, playing lower margins, taking bigger cuts at the ball. And Jannik Sinner made 28 unforced errors in the first set. Again, Hurkacz, a little defensive, a little tame, but it worked. And he stuck with it. He had confidence in it. And Hurkacz is about 6'6" and moves really, really well and is comfortable in the corners and playing defense. He has an excellent open stance backhand. He's so good at defending his backhand corner. He's so comfortable absorbing pace. Sinner hits absolute bombs. We know that. The power, the way the ball explodes off his racket is very, very unique. But Hurkacz is comfortable in the back of the court, just absorbing those body blows and waiting for those errors. And he got them. 28 unforced errors for Jannik Sinner in the first set. The game plan made sense for Hurkacz. Nerves, wind, let's keep the ball in the court and let's roll the dice here and force Sinner to come up with something in these positions. There was also a lot of clutch serving by Hurkacz. He was the decidedly better server. He used the off-pace slice serve on the deuce side as a get-out-of-jail card on a key 30-all point in the first set, also on a key deuce point in the first set. Ultimately, every single stat in this match suggests that the Hubie Hurkacz serve advantage over Jannik Sinner played a very, very key role. So Hurkacz, all the offense was really coming from the serve. He was not going after his forehand. He was just merely trading the backhand. But the offense was coming from directly from his serve. And a lot of players have made a career out of that. Now, I think Hurkacz has more than that. And I think he showed more than that in the second set. But in this first set, really, it was a case of on the return games, let's just make Sinner come up with something. Let's kind of D up here. And on the service games, I'll use the offense that comes from my serve. But I want to point out some match-wide stats just to illustrate the massive serving advantage that Hurkacz had in this match. First of all, on the Sinner side, Sinner won 55% of his first serve points, 48% of his second serve points. That's only a 7% difference between first serve and second serve won for Sinner. That's a horrible look for Sinner's first serve. You should have a way wider gap than that. What that says is that Hurkacz is pretty much getting into neutral rallies off of most of your first serve points. And that's what happened in this match. Compare it to Hurkacz. Hurkacz won 69% of his first serve points and only 35% of his second serve points. Sinner was doing a great job using his power to hit punishing second serve returns. But Hurkacz used that big first serve that often averages in the mid-120s. And he places it very well as well. And it took him a little while in his career to really build up that weapon. But his first serve is now a weapon. And you can see that is more like it. Now, you'd like him to protect his second serve better, or he'd like him to do that. But the first serve, you know, that's the kind of gap you should see a little bit less. Too big a gap. But you should see a gap. If your first serve is effective, you should be winning a much higher percent of points than you are in your second serve. And you can see that Sinner wasn't doing that. And then you look at 0-4 shot rallies, where the serve is most heavily influenced in rally 0-4. And Hurkacz with a decided 37-25 advantage. In a scratchy first set where neither player was really playing their best tennis, the serve mattered a lot. And Hurkacz ultimately keeping the ball in the court was essential. I talked about that brilliant open stance backhand defense that Hurkacz possesses. This is a key moment in the first set tiebreak where Hurkacz hits a down-the-line backhand, sliding out wide to that side and gets it really low, makes Sinner hit a half volley. That's what gives him the edge in the tiebreak, and he rolls in this first set breaker. But I think Hurkacz really shows off a tremendous match feel after this first set is over. Because I got the sense after the first set that Hubie did great to win it. He was the far more consistent player. He used his serve well, as I said, but he still needs to be better. He needs to take a little bit more risk with the forehand. He needs to keep the ball out of the middle of the court a little bit better. Force take the initiative a little more, because at some point, Sinner is not going to make as many unforced errors. And Sinner's going to start to find a groove. And after the first set, Sinner took a bathroom break, came back, and I think he realized, okay, let me make my opponent do something here. I can't just throw this match away and not force Hurkacz to really do anything great and spray the ball all around the court. Let me make sure I keep the ball in the court. And as soon as Hurkacz sensed that Sinner's rally aggression was going down, he absolutely pounced. Love all in the second set. Hurkacz takes two cuts at forehands, bigger, more confident, more aggressive, and riskier cuts than he had taken all match long. He hits the two best forehands of the match, love all in the second set. As soon as Hurkacz gets a lead, it frees him up mentally. And we know that that is not always the case. We know that sometimes a player gets a lead, especially a slight underdog, as Hurkacz was coming into this match. A player gets a lead, and now they get a little bit tense. But we saw the opposite with Hurkacz. Kudos to him on how he played right out of the gates in the second set. And he started coming forward as well. So he's hitting the forehand a lot bigger. He's coming forward. And suddenly he builds himself this healthy lead in the second set. It was essential because you knew that closing out your first Masters 1000, you're going to have some nerves. But Hurkacz goes up two breaks. Again, very key. Two breaks, gives himself that cushion.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Sinner gets one of those breaks back, but did not play a good enough return game. A clutch return game may have evened the match at 5-all, but Sinner hit some errors at this 5-4 return game. But the cushion is key, and Hurkacz wins the second set and the match 6-4. So to summarize from the perspective of Hubie Hurkacz, it starts with mindset and strategy. Knowing that, or not trying to do too much, was the correct play here, given all the circumstances. So defensive mindset, but then the skills to pay the bills, the tools to execute, the pace absorption, the defense off of both wings, the ability to keep the ball in the court. And then the domination of the serve return dynamic. Finally, early in the second set, great mentality, taking the initiative, playing the best tennis of the match in a key moment, building yourself the cushion, and ultimately he finds the finish line. So to me, a really nice performance by Hurkacz. It wasn't some flawless masterpiece. It's not going to be. You know, this is a position that neither of these players have ever been in. But he showed his age. He showed his experience. He is 24. Sinner's 19. And you could see that experience gap. Yannick will have a lot more chances, but this is a huge breakthrough for Hubie Hurkacz. Let me focus on the Italian a little bit more because he was erratic in this match. He was pretty all over the place. He made a lot of unforced errors. So the question is, how can Yannick Sinner become more consistent? And I think you have to start. This is where I think he'll get more consistent. I think he's going to improve. The consistency is going to come from improved footwork. I want to look at set point here. On this cross-court backhand by Hurkacz, Sinner just basically takes one giant step to the ball. Now, this is on the heels of a very long rally, so fatigue is now a factor, and we're getting some tired feet. But sometimes Sinner's footwork can be a little bit imprecise. On this particular forehand, you see that he doesn't create quite enough space between the ball and his body, and he catches it late because he doesn't quite set up behind the ball exactly like he would want to. I think that there was just a couple of little adjustment steps missing here, and you can't make broad claims from one shot like I'm doing here, but I'm illustrating that this would be one example of Sinner's footwork being just a little off, and that's where you're going to see most of his errors come from. So I think that if you're going to look to Sinner's consistency, and he'll never be someone who is just going to be a ball machine and never miss. That's not his game. He's too aggressive. But it's not about becoming an uber consistent player. It's about becoming a more consistent player. And in order for Sinner to do that, I believe he needs to improve his footwork. Beefing up the first serve would be the second technical flaw that was kind of glaring in this match. And that will continue to be something that Sinner needs to work on. But I also want to pose a question. I wouldn't feel confident in saying that Sinner got away from the correct mentality in this match. But I will say he did have a different mentality in this match than he did in the semifinal versus Roberto Bautista Agut. Because in the semifinal against RBA, what Sinner did was taking really big, aggressive cuts, and similar to the first set against Hurkacz, he was really controlling the match on his terms. Every point tended to be on Yannick Sinner's strings. He was hitting a lot bigger, a lot heavier than RBA, pushing him around for the most part, and ultimately, most of the match was decided by whether or not Sinner was going to hit an unforced error, or if he was going to hit a winner or force an error or ultimately reap the benefits of keeping the ball in the court. But basically, there's a huge power and an aggressiveness gap between him and his opponent. And in the first set, Sinner made tons of errors against RBA. And even in the beginning of the second set, he continued to spray the ball quite wildly. But he kept going for it. And I think oftentimes Sinner has a great understanding that shooters gotta shoot. That's a basketball term that basically implies that if you're a jump shooter and you get into a slump, the only way to get out of the slump is to keep shooting. You're never gonna fix your jump shot. You're never gonna break out of your slump if you stop doing what you do best. And what Yannick Sinner does best is rip the darn cover off the ball. And he does so with a fair bit of margin. At least he can do so with a fair bit of margin. And that's what makes him such an effective player. But ultimately, he is an extremely aggressive baseliner. And when he's at his best, he's punishing you with his brutal, powerful ground strokes. Against RBA, he never got away from that. And he made a ton of errors in the first set. Then he made a lot of errors, but not a terrible amount in the second set. And then he played a very clean third set as he just found his groove and just, he got hot, right? In this match, I felt like he got away from himself a little bit in the second set. He actually made so many errors in the first set that he got discouraged. And instead of sticking with his really imposing baseline style, he kind of got discouraged with himself and made a decision to keep the ball in the court more at the expense of his aggressiveness. So again, I'm not comfortable saying that Sinner did the wrong thing. I just want to point out that there was a bit of a difference in how Sinner internalized and handled making the plethora of errors that he did in the respective first sets in his matches against RBA and Hubie Hurkacz. It was a bit of a departure from what I found honestly so impressive about Sinner's semifinal win. He did not really repeat that against Hurkacz, instead electing to change course. Okay, it is now time for the DB4 Stat of the Week. For more tennis history, visit dbfortennis.com. That is dbfortennis.com. Today's Stat of the Week is about Russian dominance. Certainly a theme on tour here in 2021, and we saw the makings of it as early as 2020. I feel like Aslan Karatsev kind of joining the party this year. But we also want to include players like Alexander Zverev and Denis Shapovalov, who are not of Russian citizenship, but of Russian nationality. Both of their parents are both Russian, and they speak the language fluently. So the Russians have always had a rich tennis history, and it's interesting, the two Russian players who have won a major have gone on to become multiple Grand Slam champions, and they're both Hall of Famers, Yevgeny Kafelnikov and Marat Safin. Russian players have not had success in winning Wimbledon. Safin advanced only once to the semifinal in 2008, and basically it'll be interesting to see if Daniil Medvedev, Andrei Rublev, or Aslan Karatsev can kind of break that Wimbledon seal that the Russians have not been able to burst. In both Kafelnikov and Safin's inaugural Grand Slams, they both went through Pete Sampras, an interesting fun fact. But here's kind of the crux of it. Between 1995 and 2017, Russian players won a total of 8 Masters titles. Since 2018, they have taken the same number of trophies home. 2 in 2018, 3 in 2020, 3 in 2021. Last year, 3 of 7 500 tournaments were won by Rublev. This year, all 3 500 titles are divided between Rublev, Karatsev, and Zverev. So certainly, the Russian takeover is very, very real and very legit. And we are joined now by Alex Gruskin of Cracked Rackets. I rattled off all of his numerous podcasts at the top of the show. And he's also the voice of Illinois tennis, I might add. But Alex, thanks for joining us.
It is always a pleasure. Great to have you back from the basketball world. To be considered the voice of anything is probably a stretch. I think my parents would argue I'm not even the voice of myself. They would say they speak for me more than I speak for me, which is fair. But I would just like to point out your DB4 stat would also apply to Redhead specifically. If you just went like Rublev, Sinner, probably equals out to the Russians. So just wanted to point that out, but always a pleasure to see you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah, the Redheads are hot right now. Jim Courier might have something to say. I'm going to throw that out there. Yeah, no, he's red. He's red, not blonde, right?
No, that's definitely a red. Absolutely. I think he's red. And someone was telling me, I think it was Ben Rothenberg, I'll steal the joke, that Zverev is actually more Russian than any of the Russian players right now. So if you throw him in the mix, the stat gets even crazier.
Well, he's in the mix, actually. We did throw him in the mix.
Oh, beautiful. I didn't see it yet.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, the DB4 tennis crew is always on it. All right. Hubie Hurkacz, you've always been a fan. I want to know, after two title runs in 2021 in Del Rey, and now significantly more impressive one in Miami, how has your thinking about his potential changed or not changed?
I would say it has not changed in that this is indicative of a level I think we've seen him play before. And the stat I kept turning to this week in the various previews and podcasts that I did was for Hubie Hurkacz coming into the week. He was 9-19 against top 20 opponents in total and had gone 3 sets in 8 of his last 11 matches against those same set top 20 opponents. Now you throw in his results this week, and I'm going to include that Sinner match into the mix. I mean, he beats Raonic in 3 sets, and he beats Tsitsipas in 3 sets. Those are two iterations of similar players, right? Big servers, they want to attack. If you can play first strike tennis, have a big serve to disrupt your rhythm, you can beat them. That was so interesting to see him play because he's your definition of a modern physical profile. 6'6", fluid, can move around the court, has the big serve, big weapons, comfortable moving forward. What was so impressive was the degree of physicality he imposed, particularly against both Rublev and Sinner. And it was a very similar game plan, right? It was boys 12s-esque. And his look, I'm painting the backhand corner. I'm targeting the ad side. That is my game plan today. That's what I'm going to do. The difference being between him and your standards Boyd's 12 player, A, he's 6 foot six, so it comes in a little bit harder. B, his willingness to go down the line and move forward and be the aggressor. And he has good hands at the net. And then again, he's 6 foot freaking six. That wingspan can cover everything. He's got a little imagination. I would argue he was down a set and two of to Tsitsipas in the quarterfinals. Deuce point. He hits this little flick backhand slice cross court pass on the run. That was perhaps the shot that flipped the tournament for him, kept him alive, got his momentum going. He was always capable of playing this level of tennis. The biggest shock this week is he did it, what, four times in a row or six times in a row to win the tournament. We hadn't seen him do that yet. But I guess if this answers your question, I always thought this was in him. I don't know. What did you think? Did you see something new from him? I feel like we'd seen flashes, just never this sustained a level.
Yeah, I had him pegged and – to a certain extent, I still do. I had him pegged as like a 20s, top 20 for sure. I mean, that was very clear early on. But I do have him kind of capped at a certain ceiling that's probably a little bit outside your top five. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I were to project things now, which is, it's kind of early on, but he's 24. Maybe a Burdick-like career, which is an amazing career, and you make millions of dollars, and it's like it's tremendous, right? You don't want to kind of make it sound like it's lesser than it is, but he's not grouped in a lot of the players that have the wind in their sails when it comes to hype, and the younger generation, the players who have that expectation on them, where when they lose matches, people go, oh, you know, what's going on with the next gen? When are they going to break through? Like, Hurkacz has never shouldered that kind of expectation. This is a result that just kind of thrusts him much more into that conversation with those players.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there have been 70 total Masters 1000 champions. And if people were wondering what were my eyes doing during that answer, it was looking up this stat. There have been 70 Masters champions. 35 of them have won more than one title. So that's half, you know, half of Masters champions go on to win another one. The question is he a guy who can do that in the immediate future? It's tough to say, because has he had the level of clay success that makes you think he's a guy who's going to go out there and win like a Hamburg event or a Barcelona or Madrid or something Nadal doesn't play? You know, no, probably not. All of his ATP finals have come on hard courts. He's made a couple of clay challenges.
All in the United States as well.
Exactly. And so it's fair to say that, you know, again, we need to see him prove it on the clay, which is such a big portion of the year. But you look at his game style, it's going to fit on grass like a hand in a glove, right? He's a guy who's comfortable moving. He's a guy comfortable moving forward. He's a guy comfortable playing first strike tennis. He's got the slices to get creative. His returns, I mean, his backhand returns as beautiful as it gets. It's not quite as flashy as Sebastian Korda's, right? We saw a lot of good backhands this week in Miami. But it's just so effective. He absorbs everything. He's great at changing direction. And just like, you know, he's going to be good on grass. I would say, you know, I like to do tiers at Crack Rackets. And we can get to the Yannick.
Tiers are great. I love tiers.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fun type too. Like when Syracuse and Michigan lost, we both were sharing tiers in Indianapolis. But in terms of these tiers, is he in – I call it the top five, the Medvedev, Zverev, Tsitsipas, Sinner, FAA category. Oh, excuse me, top six. Rublev's got to be in there as well. No, he's not part of that group. Is he even quite Shapovalov Korda tier, where you see that firepower and you're just like, if that's hot, that's going to work. Maybe I'd throw Opelka in there too. No, not quite. But it's like a Chorich, Khachanov thing where you're like, if this guy's healthy, he's just going to be really good for a really long time. Because do you see any glaring flaws? Like, I would say no. And again, it's a sustaining thing. He's a guy who plays to the level of his opponent. Against the really good opponents, it looks really good. Against the less good opponents, not as good.
He can get a little passive for me. Sometimes he's just not doing much out there. And he's a good mover and a really good defender, as we've outlined. The backhand is so versatile. He puts returns in the court. But I think, you know, sometimes the firepower, which he does possess, just doesn't come out as naturally. Like, he's a great volleyer. And sometimes I think you go a whole match and he's never at the net.
Yeah. No, I think it's something he's incorporated into his game more and more. And, you know, again, you look for him. When I say he's a guy who plays to the level of his opponents, I think part of that is indicative of he's a guy who's got a lot of tools in the toolbox, right? He's got a lot of ingredients on the counter. I'm just throwing in as many metaphors as possible as if to say he could do a lot of things. But what is the best version of Hubie Hurkacz? This week, it was making matches physical. It was protecting that serve. It was discipline playing to the ad side of the court against four opponents in a row, Raonic, Tsitsipas, Rublev, Sinner. That's what you're going to do. But it was also keeping them honest and staying aggressive and not becoming, to use your word, passive. And that's the Hubie that's got to be channeled moving forward, because you look at the physical profile and the skill set, it would work on every surface. Now we just have to see it work.
What was missing for Sinner today?
Legs a little bit towards the end, which like you can understand. He's a 19-year-old kid. There's nothing less in the world you would want to do than play three sets against Roberto Bautista Agut on a hot Miami day. And thankfully, he wasn't like a little hungover. He doesn't go out the night before to like Live or any of the clubs downtown. I should give a shout out to 11 because they host, not the club 11, but the owners of 11 hosts in Miami. Shout out 11. Anyways, I'm not a club promoter. But like, can I say nothing? Is it all right that I say just Hubie outplayed him on this given day, that Hubie kept him honest and that his legs gave out a little bit, but that overall Jannik Sinner is now, in my opinion, my third favorite guy of this generation, behind Zverev and Medvedev. That like,
is it fair? I got to interrupt you. Is it fair to even put him in that generation? I mean, he's got.
That's true.
He's just younger. I mean, Medvedev especially. I mean, what is Sinner going to look like? Medvedev is 23.
Yeah, I'm going to put them in the tail ends of that. They're like the outer bounds. They're Q1, Q3. I feel like you must have taken a stats 250 class recently.
No.
It's like, again. Oh,
no, I avoid math at all costs.
Yeah, you're in broadcasting. And by the way, I needed to be interrupted, so never apologize. But like, again, what are the outer bounds of the next generation? The 96s. Medvedev, Khachanov, Zverev's a little younger. He's 97. But those guys are the start of the next generation. I'm going to throw Sinner in there because he's had success before the big three have retired. But this is the outer bounds. It's like if you come after the big three retired, that's the next gen. He's the last slice. And when I look at him, Gil, it's just like it's similar to Rublev in that he's swinging as hard as humanly possible. You know he's putting everything he's got into every ball. What I didn't expect is how good of a mover he is. Like, quietly, he's gotten really fluid in the past 6 months, Gil.
Yeah, that was kind of the next step for him, because he was always good from the middle of the court. But if you put him in the corner, if you put him on the run, I just don't think his legs were strong enough to really be successful in those kinds of positions. But I think that's been the main focus. And now he needs to kind of shift his attention to some other things, like beefing up the first serve, which was really a non-factor in this match. I mean, he won 55% of his first serve points, which is basically what he did on second serve, which tells you you're not doing enough on the first. This has been another big tournament without the big three, which we're beginning to get a little bit more used to. but I noticed it was a little bit similar to the US Open in the respect that it's real mental out there. I feel like when there are no big three, it just gets very, very mental. Rublev admitted it after the semifinal. He couldn't really handle himself there. He became the mega favorite all of a sudden and did not handle it very well. Tsitsipas also admittedly mentally imploded. I don't know if that had anything to do with the big three, but it happened. And then Medvedev also went down a set and kind of had a bit of a panic himself. Hurkacz was tremendous all week in terms of dealing with his nerves. But this is what I'm observing. I want your thoughts on just how mental things are when the big three are not in the mix.
Well, that's another thing to love about the Sin Man, right? He's got ice in his veins. And it's just, you know, to your point on the second serves, you're absolutely right. And that manifested itself on Hurkacz's first serve points. He's 34, 49, 69% versus 7 of 20 for 35% on second serve points. When Sinner could play first strike, he was having a ton of success, but his legs kind of faded as the match went on. And again, that's a testament to Hubie, who just, I think, physically had it all figured out this week. And I, when we talk about the mental component, I think that's the biggest thing that everyone except perhaps Medvedev, and I hate giving him credit for anything at this point, but you have to say Zverev, because just physically he is an animal at this point. And, you know, yeah, he lost that match to Rusevori round one, but whatever. We've seen him at the slam these past six slams, lock him in. He's going to hold seed. They're the only two guys I've seen play a really physical match the day before and then bounce back and find themselves another victory the next day and scrap and claw and do it once. And the thing is, at the majors, you usually have to do it three times, or, you know, two, or at minimum two, to get to that title. And in particular for these young guys, they're going to have to do it once against a Djokovic, a Nadal. And that they couldn't do it in Miami, that for Medvedev, physically, he was just cooked, right, in that match against RBA. And that was because against Tiafo, he was pushed. And against Popperin, he was pushed early in the event as well. And like,
and RBA is a nightmare when it comes to just how physical the court was. Slow as well. So it was going to be physical.
But for me, that's the piece of it, or at least for the elite of the elite, like Shapovalov mentally, that's a whole nother can of worms. But like, I think for those top guys, I think the mental is tied to the physical. It's like, all right, you know what? I'm a little bit down physically. It's okay if I lose today. And I know that's very, it's not fair to say that, because for Rublev, that loss to Hurkacz, it wasn't a physical thing. It was a little bit of a mental block. But I think it all ties together, because to your DB4 stat, like, how can you win everything else and then just not show up at the big event? Like, I just don't get it. Like, what am I missing here, Gil?
Yeah, I think Rublev, just to use him as a case study, he comes out here in 20-mile-per-hour winds and has all this expectation clearly on himself, because every time he misses a forehand in the first game of the match, and you could see he's furious, and it's like, calm down, settle down. Now, that's really easy to say and really hard to do. My point is that he wasn't himself. He was holding this burden of expectation on himself that he was going to play this amazing match. Immediately got extremely frustrated when he wasn't perfect. That's kind of what I saw for him.
No, it's fair. Like, everything you point out is fair. My counter, to play a little defense for these guys, is like, men's tennis is really freaking hard. Like, I hate to say it, but a big serve, a big forehand, that's the point. And it's like, there were times when it's at out and Sinner had played this incredible deuce point. He withstood Hurkacz. He was more patient. He was like, all right, test my backhand. But eventually you're going to slice one. I'm going to run around it. My inside in forehand is hard enough that I don't care if you know what's coming. I'm going to hit it for a winner. And then it would just be like, ace down the tee, big serve out wide, big forehand to the open court, unreturnable serve, that's the game. Like, the problem is, the mental component is Federer, Djokovic, Nadal spoiled us, where it was like, they would, you know, Hurkacz could be playing his best tennis, and they would still find a way. these guys aren't able to find a way. I don't know if that's just they're not that good. And, like, it's okay to not be as good as the three greatest players in men's tennis history. But you're right. Like, it's impossible to deny the fact all of the cards were open for them. And Hubi Hurkacz is the one who came home with the title.
Well, the big three spoiling point is just it's undeniable because this is normal. Like, this is the sport of tennis and why we love it, because it is just
No, 2017 to 2019 WTA results. Go look them up.
Yeah.
That's what the ATP is doing right now.
Yes, exactly. When you are not in a role where you, I mean, to have the confidence to close out big matches under pressure on a consistent basis, it's such a hard place to get to. And none of these guys are there yet. I love Sinner mentally, and let's wrap it up with this. I love Sinner mentally. I think it really helps him that he has a really amazing simplicity in his game, right? There's not a lot of decisions to be made there. I mean, he's going cross court. He's using his power as, you know, his advantage. He's really, you know, he doesn't need to mix it up that much, at least for now. And it's resulting in just this very level-headed cyborg-like game. And I think that he's got a good head on his shoulders. And I do expect him, I think you'd agree, to get back in this position we saw him in soon again.
So, and I will promise I try to keep this brief. Tennis Abstract, they do ELO ratings. It measures who you play, not when and where. By ELO ratings, Jannik Sinner has been a top 10 player over the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. By actual rankings, he's like number 24, like number 20 or something around there. I don't know what it is after he made the
final. He's jumping in top 20, I think.
But, like, if I tell you he's – like, if I ask you, is he more top 10 or is he more top 20 over the past 6 months, I would say top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the scary thing. And, you know, you use the word robotic. I would say it's robotic in the fact that he can repeat it every time. I don't know if it, I have a combination of fear, adrenaline, like I think a little pee leaks out. Anytime Jannik Sinner gets stretched to the outer third of the court on the forehand side, I'm like, oh, what's he doing next? Cause like it's funny. There's a little smirk on his face after he does it where he's like, oh, you think you can beat me in a cross court forehand rally? That's cute. Like, watch this. And he just hits a winner and you're just like, oh my God, this guy is nuts. And like his backhand, it's funny because you can see his wrists yank across his body and you're like, he's going cross court. But then the ball just explodes cross court. I love his game. I like really wish I had hopped on the bandwagon in 2019 when he ripped through the Lexington Challenger. Like, I'm sad it took me this long, but I he's a stud. Like, Hubi won the event. That's why we opened with 10 minutes on Hubi. Mm-hmm. But you watch Jannik Sinner and I'm just – in awe. I know we're gonna have you on our Crack Rackets podcast Monday Match Analysis, listeners, so when we'll do the full deep dive, I just have to sneak in this question. What do you think about Korda, if you don't mind me asking? And then I'll get off the bandwagon. But I watch Korda and like I'm this excited about Sinner and I want to hear your thoughts on him too, but I also watch Korda now, who by ELO rating is going to be a top 20 guy, by actual ranking is like number 64. Like, to me, that's another one. He is more top 20 than top 64 right now, mm-hmm. and he's only 20 years old, and he's got the physical profile, and I might be in love, Gil.
I was thinking about asking you about Korda, just didn't get there, but hey, I mean, this is perfect.
Great minds again.
Yeah, there you go. This was the tournament that kind of sold me. Like, my only nitpick is both times I've been really excited for a quarter match, he got hurt. So that's the only thing, two big matches this year. So hopefully that's just a total coincidence. But the backhand is world-class, and I haven't said that about an American since Marty Fish. And the returning, really just the ball striking all around, the forehand is a weapon like it has to be. You know, I think the service technique looks beautiful. I'm waiting for that to materialize into a bigger weapon. If it does, it's just the total offensive package. And yeah, I think American tennis fans should be pumped about Korda, because I do expect him to surpass what the previous generation has accomplished.
He's Tomas Berdych, but with Shakira's hips, and they don't lie. And it's really, really nice. But no, I would agree with everything you said.
And talk about a mental game. I mean, the way – oh, my God. I mean, he's just a pro. How is he a pro at his age? I mean, it's very fun to watch.
Someone who has sisters. You're just like, oh, yeah, that guy had sisters. You can just – like, everything about his presence. He's so buttoned up. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy had sisters.
And I wouldn't know, but – and professional.
Yeah, me neither. Look at me.
Come yeah. on. Professional.
I'm wearing a wristband still from like a night ago.
What are you doing, man? professional tennis players as parents. I think I'm forgetting his mother. I want to say was a professional athlete. Do you have the bio on his mother?
I believe it's both, right? Both are professional.
Both.
Athletes. Yeah.
I think I just don't remember what sport his mother played.
I'm blanking as well, but I always say both. And if not, she has three athletes for children. She is an athlete at this point.
I love it. All right. You can find Alex Gruskin's stuff at crackedrackets.com. Great Shot Pod, Mini Break Pod, Cracked Interviews, Illinois Tennis. Am I missing anything?
I've got some things in the work. Hopefully, again, home and home, we're getting you on our Crack Rackets podcast. Hopefully all of you Monday Match Analysis listeners will enjoy that. I promise I'll give Gil more chance to speak on that occasion. But no, as always, you know what I'm going to say. Tell Jenna I say hello. It is always a pleasure to get to do this. And thank you as always, my friend.
She'll appreciate the shout on Monday Match Analysis. All right, I thank Alex for joining me. As always, you guys know the deal. Monday Match Analysis is available on all podcast platforms. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you want me to love you forever. You can also follow me on Twitter at Gil_Gross. That'll do it for this week's show. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe, and I will see you next time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.